I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about we get what we tolerate. We get what we tolerate. I had a fitness mentor of mine who trained a lot of athletes who won gold medals in the Olympics. And he used to have this saying that he would say all the time, we get what we tolerate. We get what we tolerate. We get what we tolerate. And for whatever reason, just the last couple of days, this concept has just been coming to mind here again. I think it's the concept of having extremely high standards. You know, our standard is Jesus, becoming more and more like him, growing into the fullness of him, growing and maturing into him, having these extremely high standards. That's God's standard for us, but also mixed with a lot of grace. At the same time, a lot of grace, a lot of gentleness to give people extended time and grace when they miss it. So this combination, extremely high standards of excellence mixed with a lot of grace and mercy and gentleness at the same time. And so we're asking for God's help today. We're going to be taking communion over this, asking for God's help to get that perfect balance of these two sides of this together, the way only he knows how to do, I think. So why are we taking communion every day? Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to stir that sacrifice of Jesus into our remembrance and make his sacrifice active and relevant and alive right now, today, in this present moment. Helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. Which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until the death is proven. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus, to stir them into our mind and remembrance, and pair it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the cracker and the juice. And lately we've talked about, there's something that happens within our physical bodies. There's a change, there's a conversion, there's a turning that happens within our physical bodies when we actually have something that we practically do, when we actually apply our faith and release our faith outside of us, not just think about it, but get it released out into the world. Something happens within us. I don't know fully how to explain just yet, but I know that it's true. Now, it's also important we take communion every time we take it, to take it the right way, to take it with the fear of the Lord, just that deep honor and reverence, respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus, for all that God and Jesus were willing to do to connect us back together. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. The Apostle Paul says, some people are weak and sick, and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe physical exercise is one of the greatest ways for us to practice applying our faith, to practice receiving this grace by faith, and to practice resting and allowing God to do the work through us. It's an opportunity for us to practice that. And then once we understand the principles of how to apply our faith into that, we can practically apply that into all the other areas of our lives as well. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us, and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities and make the most of them today. I ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So now we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is a time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the master. We're going to walk out our day together with him. You know, we have to have this eternal perspective on life, this eternal perspective with God, but we've got to bring it back down into today. It's got to impact this day today, the way we walk, the way we talk, our actions, our behavior, the decisions we make. It's all got to impact today. And we're going to execute these four fundamentals. And we're going to bring some presence and some energy and some fun into these fundamentals today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. Every day we have to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light. We got to defend that positioning. Remember, this is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. To take our position in the light, we're going to take our position in humility today. Because it's the humble that are given grace. It's the humble that are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves. And we're going to walk in grace and forgiveness with other people. We're going to take our position in love today. Kind and patient and gentle. Always assuming the best. Keeping no record of wrongs. Always hoping. Always trusting. Always persevering. Because love never fails. We're going to take our position in gratitude and praise, one of the greatest expressions of faith. One of the easiest ways to keep our positioning all day long is just to stay positioned in gratitude and praise today. And when we take our position, we're stepping into the light. We're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything he has, and he gave it all to Jesus because he was worthy. He was deserving of it. But we get to be in him today. So this day today, his spirit and power and presence, his love, his peace, his joy, his mind and wisdom, his kingdom, his health, his energy, his purpose, we become part of his family. It's all in there. It's all in the light today. So first we're going to take our position in it, and then we're going to start to magnify it. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. Jesus says, be careful that the light that is within you doesn't become darkness. We're going to magnify this light and make it bigger or greater. And it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things that he has through us. And it's all about what we're focused on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of meditation. When I think of meditation, I'm thinking about what are the things that I'm repeating over and over? The things that I'm consistently talking about, the things I'm consistently thinking about, the things that I'm consistently doing. What am I meditating on throughout the day? So to magnify the light, we can magnify God's word, his unfailing love, his faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got right standing with God today. We've got his peace. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives, and he eagerly desires to help us. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us and whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. We can magnify all the things that are going well and that all that God has already done for us in our lives. To look how far he's already brought us Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring those issues and problems into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. I always think of David and Goliath. Everybody else is magnifying the size of Goliath. But David looks Goliath in the face and magnifies God and his covenant with God as bigger than the giant. And that's the difference. But God does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could choose the way of darkness. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, insisting on our own way, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness, trying to do things without God in our lives, venting, complaining, magnifying the size of the issues and the problems. And that's where we've got to recognize those symptoms. Because when we're positioned in darkness or we're magnifying darkness, there's going to be symptoms in our lives. There might be the tendency to retaliate at people, to snap at them, to get back at them, to withhold good things that we know to do. Maybe we avoid people or withdraw our presence or give them the silent treatment. But none of those are the way of grace. None of those are the unconditional love and grace that God has given us. It's learning to receive that from Him and treat other people the same way that He's treated us. And when we take that position in the light, much different symptoms. What are you going to experience when you're in darkness? You're going to feel this heaviness and pressure on the inside. You might feel hopelessness, helplessness, powerlessness, like you're trapped or you're stuck and it seems like there's no way out. Low energy is another big symptom. I think of it like a black hole, just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry, dread of the future. There's confusion about which way to go, which steps to take. We get stuck in these vicious cycles or bad patterns. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul, a whole other set of symptoms that we get. There's this rest in our soul. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now I've got His Spirit and His power and His love and His joy and His peace, His kindness and goodness and power is all flowing through us, His mind and wisdom. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. Your energy levels rise up. You have this lightness on the inside in your spirit. Just breaks off you, just lifts off of you. You've got God flowing through us. Now, if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever miss it, we ever get off track, He's got these high, unwavering standards, but mixed with a lot of grace. He's never going to stop doing good for us. If we miss it, it just takes a moment to turn it back around and get right back in again. How do we do it? Number one is recognizing and the awareness of saying, wait a minute, I'm off track right now. I see the symptoms that are happening right now, and I'm off track right now. We humble ourselves. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. Whatever it was. We receive that forgiveness from Him. We forgive ourselves. If we need to reconcile with anybody else, we need to say we're sorry, whatever we got to do. We take those steps and then we just start praising and thanking Him for His love and His grace and His goodness and that He's more than enough. And you'll feel the shift on the inside. The weight will lift off of you. Your energy levels will rise up. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to wash over you on the inside. Then our third fundamental, we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to lead us and train us and guide us, but we got to stay tuned in to Him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. I like to start with gratitude and praise to get my positioning. Then I like to magnify. What went well today? What are the wins for the day? What are the ways I saw God showing up today? Then it's good to examine ourselves. What symptoms was I experiencing today? How was my positioning? How was my focus? Are there any adjustments that I need to make? And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen for a few minutes, and whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write that down. Begin to record our journey. Something powerful happens when you get it out of your head and onto the paper. Something very powerful happens. There's a conversion that happens literally in our physical bodies, I believe. When you get it out of your head and you speak it or you write it down, you get it out of your head and into the world. And then we got to stay tuned in today. You ever feel like you're losing that connection with God? Just slow down for a minute or two. It doesn't take long. Just get powered back up in Him again. Just get still and focus on getting connected to Him again. And then the last thing I like to do in my journal is to plan out the upcoming day with God. And what I've learned to do personally is to stick with what I know to do. Because I learned sometimes I was getting ahead of God. Wasn't quite sure of what to do just yet. And I would ask Him for His leading and His guidance, but He hadn't shown me yet. And I was taking action anyway, just doing whatever I thought was best. And I was wasting a bunch of time, having to go back and redo work. I was getting out ahead of Him. But on the other side, sometimes I was getting behind Him because I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And so what I've learned to do is, what do I know to do today? What do I know to do today? And I write out the to-do list. What do I know needs to happen? Anything in my conscience, anything I'm procrastinating on, anything I have a leading or excitement from God to do, write out the plan. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it. We're going to get connected to Him first thing in the morning. We're going to start praising and thanking Him, magnifying Him. And then we're going to walk out that plan together with Him today, with a willing heart, with a good attitude, and full confidence in Him. He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of that confident faith, this grace just begins to flow, begins to surge through us. And when that grace begins to flow, it does something like magnetize us. He begins to beautify our lives. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So I was thinking about this concept today. We get what we tolerate. Like I said, one of my fitness mentors used to say this. And it's this combination of these high, unwavering standards of excellence across every area of our life. Sometimes we get what we call ambivalent, where we're kind of in the middle. One of the things I've learned about faith is decisive. As long as we're double-minded, the Bible talks about if we're double-minded, we can't expect to receive anything. Jesus tells us, if you abide in me, you can ask for whatever it is that you want. Now, how do we know what's the best thing to want? What I've learned to do is when I do my journaling at night, is I write out this statement. Today, what I want is I want to be doing what you say, God, is right and best. I want to be doing your plan. I want to do what you say is right and best for my life. That's what I really want, because I'm trusting that if I do that, that you're going to take care of me, that that's the best plan for my life. So we got to have these unwavering standards. We got to make a firm decision and commitment. We got to get clear on what it is we really want, what it is we really want to take a stand for. We got to firm up that commitment, but then you got to take a longer time perspective. You got to have a gentle approach and a lot of grace that if you miss it, you get right back on track. If other people don't live up to your standards, you don't beat them up and condemn them over it. You give them that grace. You still hold to the high standard, but you mix it with a lot of grace and gentleness. So as a practical example, I was thinking about this with my kids. We're doing school with my kids at home. And I was thinking to myself, I got to get a little firmer on my standard with them of what's expected. Because sometimes it's easy to get ambivalent because we're in a hurry or whatever it may be. But to set that standard high, but at the same time, hey, this is where we're going, but approach it with a lot of gentleness and grace. Like, hey, this is where we're going. But it's going to take us a little time to get there. If we miss it, we're going to course correct. We're going to get back on track, but this is where we're going. This is the standard that we're shooting for. So we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful for you. You give us the ultimate example, the ultimate standard in Christ, that we're growing up into him. But you also mix it with this tremendous grace, and it's your gentleness that makes us great, is what David said in the Psalms. We just thank you for that. And we're asking for your help to get this right. These unwavering standards of excellence mixed with a lot of grace and gentleness to be more decisive on those and clear on what we really want. We're asking for your help to walk that out today. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." He said, "Take it. Receive it," that he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight through his one sacrifice. Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. We can have this relationship with God, this covenant relationship with him. We said yesterday, he's going to rejoice in doing good for us. He's never going to stop doing good for us. That's his covenant commitment. So, Father, we thank you for that. So grateful for that. We ask you to bless this cup in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so let's talk about some workout stuff. We talk about making a firm, unwavering commitment. In our health, it's going to take a firm, unwavering commitment. You will get what you tolerate. One of the biggest areas I've seen that just with working with people over the years is in the area of time. Often we get too busy, but I like to think of health and time, they work together. They're a balancing pair. You can't have one without the other because nobody else can eat your healthy meals for you. Nobody else can do your push-ups for you. Health takes some time. So we're going to have to set this standard in our life, this unwavering standard. We're going to make a commitment to it. But at the same time, we're going to take a more gentle approach that allows us to be consistent over time. If we ever miss it, we ever get off track, we're going to give ourselves grace and we're going to get right back on track. Setting a new standard in our health. We're going to work out consistently, but we're going to do it together in partnership with God. We're going to take that pressure off of ourselves and allow his grace to flow through us. That's our new standard. And we're going to prioritize. We're going to make some time for it every day. I believe you'll be truly blessed when you set those priorities and you keep them. Keep those commitments that you make. And when you miss it, you give yourself grace and you get right back on track. But the standard doesn't change. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the Abundant Life Training Center. .com